just talk about simple subject of prayer and fasting for a little bit tonight and getting prepared for next week. Hallelujah. Pastor Jim and Miss Kathy will be here next Wednesday night. It'll be wonderful, right? Hallelujah. Dr. Jim. Hallelujah. So we're going to prepare habitation. Not that we're not always by the grace of God, but we're just even more so looking forward to a week and going into a place where our faith is up. And we want you to join us if you're watching tonight and you're part of the Family Prayer Center. Please be here with us starting next Wednesday, and then we'll start it'll be Wednesday, and then we'll go to Sunday and be through the following week. So, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6 was in reading in there today through Sermon on the Mount. And like I said, this is simple, but I want us to build our faith just by reading the Word of God and beginning to observe what we already know, what we've been doing and what we already know. So stay with me. Hallelujah. Jesus is speaking here in chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 5. He says this: when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. He referred to the scribes and Pharisees oftentimes, that they were hypocrites in their motives and how they went about to do things. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy, what? Closet, that secret place. I hope you have one. I hope you have maybe not a physical closet, but a place that you go before him on a daily basis. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And he says this: and thy Father, which is in secret, shall do what? Reward thee openly. That's what we want. Not our exaltation. But what's he saying here? That in secret, in that place of secret prayer and intimacy, that there's something going to take place out of it. It's going to be an open reward. What's open? What's the open reward for prayer? Answered prayer. Simple, right? Answered prayer. From an unseen realm, we're believing that what we cannot see begins to, as we go into that place and adore him and pray to him and come through Jesus, that we're accessing a place where we're going to see tremendous results. Hallelujah. And we're praying for the outpouring of that takes place in Immokalee, but let's continue on here in verse 6. He says, when you pray, use not what? Vain repetition, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their what? Much speaking. It's not how much you say. Sometimes I have sat in the presence of the Lord and just not said anything for a long time. Just listening. And it's so important that before you speak, you're listening to what the Father has, and that you're praying his heart. You're praying the heart of Holy Spirit. Be not ye therefore liken to them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of even before you ask. But does he want you to ask? Absolutely. There's an Old Testament scripture that says he's ready to give even before the request. But he wants us to ask. He knows already, but still he enjoys us asking. Verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. We say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed here means to sanctify. means to come into a place where you're intimately in fellowship with that name. And as you begin to go into this place, Jesus is teaching us a proper protocol here. And as I said, this is real simple, but nevertheless, I want us to prepare our hearts going forward in this week. Intimacy is the order of the hour. This is the year of presence. I know I've been hearing Gary Carpenter talk about that. The Holy Spirit said this is the year of presence. And not that we haven't always enjoyed the presence of the Lord, but it's important as we go in, and I would say to you, make it a habit as you hear the Lord saying, "Hallowed be thy name," teaching us the first thing that we do, Lord, sanctify this moment. Bring me into your presence. Let intimacy be the first thing before request, before anything else, that intimacy is the order of the day. It's the order of the moment. I'll tell you this also, by experience and just knowing the truth behind this, it's important that you leave. And I'll say this and I'll clarify something. Holiness, it's never, not walking in holiness is never an option. In other words, you can't live a sin-filled life. But at the same time, you have to understand that you have to leave the flesh outside of that room of intimacy. You have to leave the memories of past failures outside of that room of intimacy. Spiritual worship, I know that there's a positional place of worshiping Him in spirit and truth, but you have to go into that place where you say, and you know, it's amazing because He'll fellowship with you and minister such incredible presence, and He doesn't say anything. Now later, the Holy Spirit may begin to deal with you concerning faults, and I'm not talking about killer sins, but I'm talking about places where He wants to change things in your life. Surrender. But I've found out that so many places, so many different times, as I go into that place and there's that place of intimacy in God's presence, is that there's no accusing. How many of you know that the accuser of the brethren is the enemy? But there is conviction. But right to start with, when you go into that place and you're hallowing His holy name and you're in that place of surrender, you can understand this and you can know this. The first thing the Father wants is He wants intimate fellowship with His kids, with His sons and daughters. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is our decreeing. This is our place of decreeing and saying, okay, Lord, what your will is, that's what's going to happen in Immokalee. That's what's going to happen in my personal life. That's what's going to happen in my family's life. I decree, I declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this planet. And I'm the one that gets to say so. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Knowing God's will is utmost in the performance of a miracle. If there's any ifs, and we've been, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Gary's talked about this a lot. If there's any ifs involved in knowing what His will is, that's why you got to go to the Word. That's what you got to stay in the Word. Meditate the Word. Continue to stay in that place of continual meditation and reading the Word. If there's any ifs involved in "if it be thy will," that negates it right there. You have to have a certainty. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll never find Jesus asking the Father to heal someone to perform the miracle. You'll never find, search those four Gospels, you'll never see him before he's about to perform a miracle say, "Father, I'm asking you." Now, he does go get the bread. You know, he does go receive presents from the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to when they came to him and they said, "Master, will you, you know, will you heal me?" He said, "Well, what do you want?" "Well, that my eyes would be open, that the leprosy would go." You never see Jesus turning and saying, "Father, I'm asking you right now, will you do this?" He spoke the end result. Hallelujah. And it's important for us to speak the end result. Know him enough that when the needs are presented in front of us, that we're able to speak the end result and say, "This is the will of the Father." And I'm not going to ask you now for it. It's already done behind the scenes. Hallelujah. Thank God. He says, and as I said, just speak the end result. Matthew 6 says this, 6:11 says, "Give us this day our" what? "Our daily bread." That's our daily provision. We can believe for that. But there's also a bread, and this is kind of Gary Carpenter 101. I don't know how many of you listen to those messages recently, but there's also a bread that is specifically the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's in Luke chapter 11, and I'm just going to read this. You can turn there. It's the same setting in the sense of the word Jesus is speaking. But this is not asking for daily provision. This is asking for the actual bread of the Holy Spirit that we can perform the miracles. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall" what? "Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be" what? "Opened." Hallelujah. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father," what's going to happen? He says here, "Will he give him a stone, or will he give him a fish? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish a serpent?" Absolutely not. "Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then being evil," and he's not saying that we're evil, but he's saying in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give" what? "The Holy Spirit." So this isn't just daily provision as in your food and water. This is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When I walk into a place, not to glorify me, but when I walk into a place, we used to say the Winn-Dixie, but there's no Winn-Dixie. But when I walk into a place without words, I desire the gospel to be preached in presence. "The works that I do, you'll do also," he said, "and greater, because I go to the Father." The church hasn't seen that. The world hasn't seen that. But I'm seeking him as well as you are on a daily basis, that past the fight, that there is an impartation of his presence that people feel. That they feel, and it is the Holy Spirit. "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask." Now back to Matthew 6, he says, just a little bit further there, verse 12, "And forgive us our debts," just to finish up his prayer, "as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He continues on in verse 16. Now here's fasting. I'll just say this. I used to do longer fasts. Now it's more regulated. And I don't want to talk about me. I just want to say that it's almost better to do something on a consistent basis so that you're keeping the flesh under than to go on a long one and then it'd be a long... How many of you know that the flesh wakes up with you every day? Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. For truly I say unto you that they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that thou mayest appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, what's the open reward for prayer? Answered prayer. What's the open reward for fasting? Answered prayer. The anointing. That when we speak, the end result, it takes place. How soon? Right now. Hallelujah. After Jesus finished his fast, what was his results? Well, I want the same results that Jesus had. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says this. You don't have to turn there. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to," this is our call, "he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our call. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. The acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Presence to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, Candy and I we pulled into a filling station the other day, and the amazing part, the guy that I had given, and I know that the good thing that Homer's doing is he's not giving out any cash. I just don't happen to have food with me at the time. The same guy that caught me at a place down on Lake Trafford caught me over on Main Street filling up. And once again, I gave in and gave some money to him, not a whole lot. But I could do that because it was in my back pocket. But what I'm desiring more than anything else is to bring forth a glory that'll touch his life, that touches the street people's life. Oh, Father, give it to us. More than anything else, give it to us, Lord. We desire this, Abba. Give us this place, Holy Spirit. Give us this place. Chris de Kroska. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Make this the acceptable year of the Lord. Make this the year of Jubilee. Make this the year for Immokalee, this region. We glorify you, Jesus. Bless you. Let's just worship him. Let's just stand and worship him based on